Would you turn back to Mark 1? I have entitled this message, How a Sinner Comes to Christ. Now, I hope there's nobody that thinks, well, I already know that. If somebody thinks something like that, I would be afraid they've never come. How a Sinner Comes to Christ. The Lord said in John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. The Lord said in John chapter 7, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, this thing of coming to Christ is the act of spiritual life. The Lord said in John chapter 5, verse 39, you will not come to me that you might have life. If you come to me, it's because you have life. Coming to Christ is the evidence of divine election. I've already quoted that verse. It's so true. All that the Father giveth me. That's talking about the elect. Those he gave to Christ before the foundation of the world, a fixed number of people, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Coming to Christ is what all who are taught of God do. The Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 45, every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. And we cannot come unless he draws us. No man can come to me, our Lord said in John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And this thing of coming to Christ is the continual act of the believer. It's not a one-time act. It's not something you did way back when. It's something that if you ever came, you come every day. To whom, here's the way Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming? Not to whom you came, not to whom you intend to come. To whom coming? Now this is the life of the believer. To whom coming? Now, our message is come to Christ. If you do, you'll find acceptance. I had a preacher say to me recently, how can you call on men to come to Christ if not everybody's elect? And Christ didn't die for everybody. How can you sincerely call on men to come to Christ? It's easy. Come to Christ, you'll be received. It's that simple. If you come, you will be received. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I love what the Lord said in Luke 14, 23, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. How? How does a sinner come to Christ? Now, if I tried to explain that to you, you know what I'd do? I'd muddy the waters. That's all I'd do. If I'd say, well, here's the way you need to do it. You need to do this. I give you some I'd muddy the waters. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage of Scripture which actually says that a man did in fact come to Christ. And he was received. Now, this leper that I just read about is a man who came to Christ and found mercy. And if you and I come to Christ, we will come to Him like this man did every time we come. This is not a one-time act. This is the experience of the believer all the time. To whom coming? Now, this is also in Matthew and Luke's gospel, and all three give details that will show us clearly how a sinner comes to Christ. I hope this interests you. It interests me. How does a sinner come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now look in our text in verse 40, Mark chapter 1. And there came a leper to him. Now there we don't have to worry about what it. There came a leper to him. Now this is a man who actually came to the Lord Jesus Christ. There we have the language. There came a leper to him. Now most of you probably know that leprosy is the great type of sin. And Luke gives us a detail that the other two inspired writers do not. This man came, in Luke's account, full of leprosy. Now that word full means he was completely covered with leprosy. Anywhere you looked on this man's body, every square inch of his body was covered with leprosy. He didn't have any healthy flesh. He didn't have any sound flesh. He was completely covered by leprosy. And there's great significance to that. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 13. Verse 9. Leviticus 13, verse 9. I think it's interesting how so much detail is given to the cleansing of the leper. You see, leprosy is the great type of sin. I don't know if they had cancer in those days. Maybe they didn't. I don't know if they had heart disease, but I know they had leprosy. And it was a very fearful disease. And there's very clear instruction given regarding the cleansing of the leper. Now look in verse 9. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick, raw flesh in the rising. Now, that means healthy flesh, living flesh. Quick means living. If there's some healthy flesh that you see, it's an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. That hath the plague, it's all turned white, he's clean, but when raw flesh appeareth in him, healthy flesh, he shall be unclean. Now, this man came to Christ full of leprosy. And anybody who ever comes to Christ comes full of sin. Sin full. There's nothing about you that is anything but sin. Nobody ever came to Christ who didn't come this way. You come full of sin. You don't have anything that's healthy. You don't have anything that is meritorious. You don't have anything that you can bring and think, well, he can accept me because of this. No, you come full of sin, or you don't come at all. That's the only way someone comes to Christ. Now remember, we're asking, how does someone come to Christ? Well, here's the first point. They come full of sin. Do you and I know anything about that? I can't see into your heart, you can't see into mine, but God sees into both of us. How do I come? Full of sin. This is the only one who comes. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, Luke's account gives us another detail that is vital for us to understand how a sinner comes to Christ. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, we read concerning this man who, seeing Jesus, he fell on his face. When you see him, you will know who he is. That leper, when he saw him, like the Gadarene demonic, when he saw him afar off, he ran toward him and fell on his face and worshiped. He knew he was the Son of God. When you come to him, you'll come to him because you've seen him and you know who he is. You wouldn't come if you didn't know who he is. This word see means more than a physical sight. It means a discernment, an understanding. You understand, you see, you realize who he is. He's the Son of God. He's the absolute sovereign of the universe. It's going to make you hit your face. Fall on your face when you come into his presence. That's the way this man came. He saw him. He understood who he was. And my dear friend, if you ever see him, you'll know who he is. If you don't know who he is, you've never seen him. You see, there's something about him that as soon as someone sees him in the revelation of his person, they know who he is. You see, we're coming to a person that we know. Oh, we don't feel like we know him well. We don't even know if he's going to have mercy on us. But we know the only way we'll have mercy is if he gives it to us. And that's the way we come. He came seeing him and falling on his face. In John chapter 6, verse 40, he that seeth the Son and believeth on him. You see the order? You see the Son. You can't trust an unrevealed Christ. You can't come to an unrevealed Christ. You know he's the sovereign of the universe, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Well, how do you know those things? If you see him, it's because he's revealed himself to you. He's revealed to you who he is. And that's the way this man came. He came full of sin. He came seeing who he is. He fell on his face, and Matthew's account says, behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. Now, somebody who comes to Christ, they know they're sinful. They know who he is. That's why they come. And they worship. Now, I was driving over here this afternoon, or this whenever it was, but probably half an hour ago, whenever it was, I saw a sign on a church. Come worship with us. Come worship with us. You know, I never say that to anybody. There's a reason. The only way me and you can worship is if the Lord divinely enables us to. Somebody says that's nitpicking. No, it's not. Worship is impossible for the natural man. But this man came and worshiped him. He knew who he was. And he worshiped him as the absolute sovereign. Lord, he came worshiping, saying, Lord, if you will. Now, when you come into his presence, if you ever come to him, you're going to worship him as the absolute sovereign. What does that mean? He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Give an account for yourself. No, you worship him. And I've said this before. I hope somebody hears me. You only worship a sovereign. You only worship one where you have no control, no ability to manipulate. You're in his hand, and he can do with you whatever he's pleased to do. He can save you, and he can pass you by. Whatever he does is right. You've never come to him without worship. He worshiped him. And I think this is so important. This is so significant. He worshiped him before he knew whether or not the Lord's going to do anything for him. Now, you worship him for who he is without regard to whether he does or does not do something for you. And if you don't do that, you have not worshiped. He came and he worshiped him. And this has to be settled first. He is the object of divine worship, whether he does do or does not do anything for me. Now, if he passes you by, is he still worthy of worship? That's the question. That's the issue. If he passes you by, is he still the object of divine worship? He's to be worshiped for who he is. He's the God-man. He's the sovereign. He's the creator. He's the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. He's the altogether lovely one. And he will not be diminished if he passes me by. He is who he is. And he is the object of divine worship. And you can't come to him unless that's settled. That's got to be settled. He fell on his face and he worshiped him. Mark's account says he came beseeching him. Luke's account says he besought him. He knew. And this is what you'll know too if you ever come to him. You'll know this. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could help him. He knew that. And if you come to Christ, if you're a sinner that comes to Christ, you're going to know. You're going to be dead sure of this. He's the only one who can help you. That's why he was beseeching him, and that's why he besought him. I love the story of the Syrophoenician woman when she said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he answered her not a word. And she continued crying, Lord, help me, have mercy on me. And he said, I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the scripture says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. If you do not help me, I won't be helped. You come knowing that he is the only one who can help you. And behold, this is Matthew's account. Behold, there came a leper full of leprosy, and he saw the Lord. He knew who he was. He worshiped him, and he knew only he could help him. And the scripture says, behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord. Now, if me and you ever come to Christ, we're going to come saying, Lord. He's the Lord. He's the one whose will is always done. He's the Lord of creation. He's the one who, by an act of His will, spake the universe into existence. He's the Lord of providence. Everything that takes place because He wills it. You can't take that too far. He's the Lord of salvation. He understood. You're the Lord. Now, anybody who ever comes to Christ, they come with that understanding. He is the Lord. And He came acknowledging the sovereign will of Christ. Lord, if You will. Not, Lord, I will that You make me clean. Why, that is insolent. That is blasphemous. You don't come to the Lord telling Him what you're going to do or what you're going to have Him do. Lord, if You will. You see, a sinner understands that he's in God's sovereign hands. If You will, the notion of free will goes out the door. There's never been a sinner who came to Christ that believed in free will. Not one. Lord, if You will. People speak of man's will and free will and whosoever will. The sinner who comes to Christ knows whose will is going to be done. Lord, if You will. If Thou wilt, Thou canst. Now that's the way a sinner comes to Christ. If You will, You have the ability. Now I'm not saying that I know You will. I don't know whether You will or not. You're God. You're sovereign. I know whatever You do is right. I know I'm utterly in Your hand. But if You will, You have the ability. Thou canst. You have the ability. I love what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. If You will, You can make me clean. Yes, cleanse from a leprosy. But more than that, if You will, You have the ability to make me clean, pure, and holy so that I literally do not have any sin. There's such power in Your blood. If You will, You can make it to where I stand before Your presence, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in Your sight, utterly and completely clean. I believe that You have the ability to make me perfectly clean, perfectly holy. Now, every sinner that comes to the Savior, they come full of sin. They come seeing Him. They wouldn't come if they didn't know who He was. You can't come to an unrevealed Christ. They wouldn't come. They worship Him for who He is without any knowledge as of yet as to what He's going to do for them. He's still worthy to be worshipped. They come acknowledging His Lordship. He's the Lord. They come acknowledging the sovereignty of His will, if You will. They come acknowledging His ability. You can make me clean. You're able to present me faultless before the presence of Your glory with exceeding joy. If You will, You can make me clean. And this is where the sinner stops speaking and waits to hear what he says. He didn't say, all right, I've come, therefore you need to make me clean. He didn't come like that at all. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he just waited at that point to hear what the Lord would say. We'll look in our text in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, this is who the Lord Jesus is. It's just who he is. He was moved by compassion. Do you know that anybody that comes to him just like this leper did, every time he in his glorious person is moved by compassion? I think of the Lord on his way to Jerusalem. The scripture says it set his face like a flint. He came to die, and he was not going to be deterred. He set his face toward Jerusalem. And he's on his way there, and there comes a cry from the crowd, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the scripture says Jesus stood still. You see, he always responds to a cry for mercy. He always responds to any sinner who comes just like this leper did. Jesus, moved with compassion, reached forth his hand and touched him. Now, how long you reckon it had been since that man had felt human touch? I mean, he was a leper. He was full of leprosy. Would you touch him? No, you'd stay away. You wouldn't want to be anywhere near him. But Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. I don't believe there's any more powerful language than that. I will. This is the divine fiat. Be thou clean. This is that will which cannot be thwarted. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. He didn't have any choice. You know, when the Lord wills something, it is. I will, be thou clean. Verse 42, and as soon as he spoke it, immediately the leprosy. What's that next word? Departed from him. It went from one place to another place. It departed from him. It didn't just disappear. It departed from him. Now, that can only be understood in light of the cross. You see, God made my sin. God can do this. Nobody else could do it, but he can. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing's too hard for the Lord. He can do this. He made my sin to depart from me. And I know where it went, too. It went to the Lord Jesus Christ, who bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That leprosy departed. It departed. It went from one place to another. And this is, you know, our sin is not like the Lord. You know, the Lord's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. You can't go anywhere where he's not. Isn't that glorious? But sin can't be two places at once. If it's departed from me and he bore it, it's gone. The leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed, purified. I would love to have seen him at this time. I reckon he was just like Naaman. All of a sudden, his flesh was like a little child's, perfectly healthy, completely cleansed of that leprosy. It departed, and he was cleansed. This is what the will of Christ and the blood of Christ does. It causes us to be cleansed, to stand before God undefiled, pure and clean. You know, that can only be realized by faith. I realize that. But every believer stands before God having never sinned. That sin was put away, purified, cleansed, purged. Verse 43. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man. Don't tell anybody about this. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now he was going to go back to the law, and the law was going to declare him to be clean. You don't have anything to fear from the law. The law is going to look you over and say clean, pure, perfect. And why did he tell this man to not tell anybody? You know, I know the answer to that question. You know, how many times did the Lord do something for somebody and tell them not to tell anybody? I love that scripture. He shall not strive, nor cry, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. The reason is, the Lord's not trying to gain a following. The Lord's not trying to get a hearing. He came to save his people from their sins, and that's exactly what he did. But, verse 45, he went out and began to publish it. Much. You know, if the Lord did this for you, I don't think you'd be able to keep your mouth shut about it. Couldn't do it. Is this man to be rebuked for that? Well, I don't know, but I understand. He began to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. But you know what happened? They came to him from every quarter. A bunch more people came to him. Now, my dear friends, this isn't a one-time thing. If you and I ever come to Christ, we're going to come the way this man came all the time. To whom coming? May God give us the grace to do just that. Let's pray. Lord, how we ask that we might be drawn and caused to come to thy Son. come full of sin, knowing that's what we are, by nature, by choice, and by practice, but come knowing who He is, seeing Him, worshiping Him for who He is, acknowledging His lordship, His sovereign will, His ability to make us clean. Lord, we come with the leper. Lord, if You will, You can make us clean. And Lord, we know that everyone who comes just like that hears these words, I will be thou clean. In Christ's high and holy name, we ask these things. Amen.